Good morning. Tim, are you okay? Not you, Tim. That Tim. You okay? Well, I appreciate you going to such lengths to make me feel better. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, today we are going to see if we can identify some people who gave their life and whose heart was turned towards the Lord and that have given us a pattern about how we can live and what we can do. And for lack of a better title, I've just talked about in praise of godly women. And there's a passage over in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17 that is often overlooked about how we are supposed to help each other and identify each other and build each other up and bolster the faith of others. In Philippians 3 and verse 17, Paul says, "Brethren, join in following my example and note," some versions say mark, "and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." Identify those that are walking uprightly and that have given their lives to Christ. And look at what they have done and how it in turn affects us. So this morning we're talking about these women that have given their lives to Christ, women who were receptive to the truth, women who would say are seekers and have given us, I believe, something to think about and a pattern that we can follow. And it all began with the fact that they had hearts that were open and receptive to the truth. And then not only was that so, and then they took what they had learned and how they have now prospered as a child of God, and they went and they told others. They just didn't sit back, but they told others. So we're going to start in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 5. And it says, "And Jesus came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well," and it was about the sixth hour, "and a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her," now here's the first thing that's odd, that's different. This is a Samaritan woman. Samaritans are looked down upon by Jews. And so this Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it," and this is the second thing that's interesting about this, "how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." What Jesus is going to do, he's going to break all social mores in talking to this woman, who not only was a woman, but was a Samaritan woman. So verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." There's a spiritual undertone in what Jesus is saying and what we have been presented by the Gospel of John. The woman then, this is verse 11, said, "The woman said of him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?' And then Jesus answered and said to her, 'Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again.'" That's the water that's in the well. "Will thirst again. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, he will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up unto everlasting life." She is curious. She wants to know more. And then the woman, verse 15, "And the woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw.' Jesus said to her, 'Go, call your husband and come here.' And the woman said, 'I don't have a husband.' And Jesus said, 'You've well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your own.' The woman said to her, 'I perceive,'" this is verse 19, "'I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship.'" So we go from an encounter over water, both natural water and living water, to talk about worship. It's interesting that what Jesus has done is that he has chosen a woman of Samaria to talk about the nature of God and how we should worship him and how that should affect us. Of all the people that Jesus could have identified and could have mentioned, he chose a Samaritan woman. Jesus said to her, "Woman," this is in verse 21, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Worshiping in spirit and in truth is the foundation of our worship and understanding of who God is and how we approach him. "God is spirit," verse 24, "and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." And the woman said to him, "I know," and it's interesting the things that she knew, but she said, "I know that Messiah is coming, that one who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Can you imagine the look on her face when she realized who this man was that she was talking with? Verse 27, "And at this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman." It's another thing, breaking social mores. "Talked with a woman. Yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' Or 'Why are you talking with her?'" The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. Now, she's going to take what she has just learned, and she's going to tell other people about this man that claims to have water to everlasting life. And she is going to tell other people about him. Verse 28 says, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, 'Come, See, a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? The one for whom we're looking? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat, of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to him, My food, some versions say my meat, is to do the will of him who sent me, that is God, and to finish his work, God's work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one who sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him. Now notice what it says, believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. What great influence she is having. Because her heart was open, because she was receptive to the truth that the Messiah had come. She knew of the prophecies. Verse 39 again, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified that he told me all that I ever did. What a shock it would have been to her. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Okay, they believed because of the word of the woman, what she had to say. It's interesting that it doesn't appear as though that anyone really questioned her. But it was that because of what had taken place and because of the sincerity of what she is saying about who this is, they believed. They believed on her. So Jesus came. And he broke down social barriers. And he came for all people, not just for a select few. And what we understand is that God is indeed a God for all. The gospel is for all. Now, Paul builds upon this. When he makes the statement over in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Galatians 3 and verse 28. What Paul tells them, that we are all one in Christ. There are neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male or female. We are one in Christ. That is, we can drink and having drunk of this living water, we are now one in Christ Jesus. So this woman was a seeker of truth. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 tells us that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That's what he was doing. He came for us to save us. Just like he came to the Samaritan woman and offered her living water that built her faith. So he came to seek and save the lost, including Samaritans. What she did was, she ended up telling others about the wonderfulness of what it is that she had discovered. Now the challenge for us, I believe, is, are we going to tell others about Jesus? This Samaritan woman did. Are we going to be any less than she was? Are we going to go and tell others about what we have found, which is eternal life in God through Jesus Christ? Now let's turn to John chapter 11. One of the things that these people that we're looking at today did is that they were indeed hospitable. So if we turn over to John chapter 11, John chapter 11, we are introduced to Mary and Martha. Well, actually, we were probably introduced to them earlier. In fact, if you go back first, to go back to Luke chapter 10, before we go to John 11, we're going to Luke 10 and verse 38. Luke chapter 10. It appears as though in verse 38 it says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered in a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." "And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken from her.'" These women are going to become close friends of Jesus. They are going to be close, loving friends, along with their brother Lazarus, of Jesus. And I believe that's significant as well, that what they did was they're opening their hearts, they are opening their house to others. So in chapter 11 now of the book of John, let's go back there, beginning in verse 1, says, "Now a certain man was sick." This man's name was Lazarus, and he was from the city of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Now this tells us something about Jesus and his relationship with these people. They are friends, but they love each other. It's interesting. The one whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Jesus is able to turn situations into a teaching point about God and the Son of God and what he came to do. Verse 5, "And Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea.'" Okay, so the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, And are you going to go there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he was speaking about taking some rest to sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him, that you may believe. Jesus always has a point. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. There was a closeness that existed with these people that says volumes to me about their love for Jesus and their love for each other and for God. Many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Verse 20 says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. It's interesting, there is a concept of resurrection that surfaces here. Your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. There was some understanding about that. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you understand what I'm offering you, what I'm saying to you? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and she came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. And when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Another teaching point. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Jesus wept. A close friend, a close, loving friend. Two women who not only loved their brother, loved Jesus, and opened their house to him. They were hospitable. And it seems as though that was, in that day and age, was quite a thing, that people were in the habit of doing that, of being hospitable. Mary and Martha. Now, let's turn over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. We are going to encounter some women who had a spiritual mindset and who were down at, because it said that they were down at the riverside where it was supposed that there was a place of prayer. Verse 13 of chapter 16 says this, "And on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and we spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay.' And she persuaded us." Come into my house and stay. But there are more. There's another woman that also was hospitable. If we turn to Acts chapter 18, Acts chapter 18, we're going to begin reading in verse 1 about a woman by the name of Priscilla. So 18 and verse 1, it says this, "And these things, Paul, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and he went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them." Then we skip down. Well, "And because he was of the same trade," rather, "because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers." He stayed with them. They opened their home to him. Now skip over to verse 24 in chapter 18. "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake, and he taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." The way of God more accurately. "And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ." That's Aquila and Priscilla, who spoke out, who defended the faith. Now we read about them again over in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse 3. Says this. Paul, in writing to this church at Rome, he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." So what about this woman, Priscilla? Again, she opened her home. She and her husband opened their home. They were called and referred to as fellow workers in the Lord. She worked alongside of her husband. They did it together. They taught others the gospel together. And she is singled out as a person that was a fellow worker along with Christ. They were hospitable as well. Next, there's a woman by the name of Phoebe that we learn about. And this list that Paul has in Romans 16 helps us, I guess, helps us understand a little bit about the workings that go on in the kingdom and what people are doing and why it's important that we are identifying those people that said that we should identify. And we ought to be doing the same thing with each other. Identifying those, noting those people who are committed and are serving the Lord. Verse 1 of Romans chapter 16 says this, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. She's been a helper. She's a worker for the Lord. This woman that is identified as a servant of the church. What a great example of what she did. There are a couple of others in this list, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Chapter 16 and verse 12. Romans 16 and verse 12 says, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa who have labored in the Lord. They labored in the Lord. Phrases that are used in the New Testament to identify people who are working for the Lord are things like fellow workers, fellow laborers in the Lord. They worked for the kingdom. They were identified by inspired writers. Then in Philippians chapter 4, there are two women that are mentioned. And these two verses, verses 1 through 4, tell us also about two other women. We'll begin in verse 1. It says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Stand fast in the Lord. I implore Euodia, he says, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. This is not something new. Earlier in the book, he talks about how important it is to be of the same mind and of the same judgment. Implore them to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. The rest of my fellow workers. He's identifying these two women as fellow workers with Paul in the Lord. So what do we learn? We learn that being a worker for the Lord crosses all, you would think, social barriers. A worker for the Lord. It makes me think of the song, "I Want to Be a Worker for the Lord." But these women had some difficulty. Paul was urging people to help them because, and one of the reasons he gives is because they have taken care of me and because they are fellow laborers, just like we should be. These women cared for each other. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy 1, beginning in verse 3, Paul, in writing to Timothy, he says, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." A mother and a grandmother who taught Timothy, who helped him. These women had great influence in their home, just as women have a great influence in the homes today, whether you're a mother or a grandmother. It's something that we can do. It's something that we can help each other with. Their faith influenced their families, most notably Timothy. There's another woman. Let's go back to Luke chapter 8. We're going to Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Luke chapter 8 and verse 1, and we'll be reading, begin through verse 3. "Now it came to pass afterward that he," that is Jesus, "went through every city and village, preaching and bringing good tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women." It wasn't just the 12. Says, "And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their sustenance." They provided for Jesus. They provided for those who were working. Joanna. Then chapter 24 in Luke. Luke 24. Luke 24 and verse 10. It says, "And they remembered his words when they entered from the tomb, when they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles." Joanna and other women who were telling people of Jesus and what he had done. And then in Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verse 36. It says, "Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all of those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem." That's what she did. Spoke of the Lord to others. What about us? Is that what we do? Do we speak of the Lord to others? In Matthew chapter 27, there are several things beginning with Matthew 27 that these women of faith did. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 55. It says, "And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee ministered to him, were there looking on from afar," that is at the crucifixion on the cross, "looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons." "And now when evening came, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. And this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given them. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb." There were these women that had been following Jesus that were at the crucifixion. They observed what was going on. Then if you skip over to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go and quickly tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee, where you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, 'Rejoice.' So they came and they held him by the feet and they worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" It's interesting. These women that we have read about and their relationship with Jesus. They told they were chosen to go and tell others about Jesus. The first people that Jesus appears to after the resurrection were women. Think about it. This is the single most important event in the history of mankind, and God chose to reveal it through women. It seems as though if anything in the gospel drives home the importance of women in God's scheme of things, it's this moment. To add any exclamation point to this truth, he instructs the women to tell his disciples that he is indeed alive. In the first century, a woman's testimony didn't amount to much. But these women, but Jesus makes these women witnesses to history's most important event. What a great thing. Sometimes I think we forget about God's scheme of things and what he's done. Then in Acts chapter 1, there's another mention. Of the women. In Acts 1, beginning in verse 12. And we're talking about the apostles. When it says they, when they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey, and when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Then he mentions all of them: Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and in supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. The mother of Jesus and the women together with those that were there, with the apostles, worshiped him. Women played a vital part in the spreading of the gospel. We can't ever forget that. And when we get, or when women get distraught because they want more to do, go back and read what these women did and how it affected their lives and how it affected the lives of others. It's powerful. What happens is that oftentimes in any endeavor, it seems as though we focus more on the things that we can't do than focusing on the things that we can do and should be doing. This is all a part of God's scheme of things. And like everything else that's a part of God's scheme of things, it's something that we need to embrace. It's something that we need to remember and thank God for godly women who have dedicated their lives to Christ, who tell others about the Lord Jesus, who love the relationship that they have with Jesus and the relationship that they have with others. So I urge you to think about these things, because it's important. But sometimes we forget. These women were dedicated seekers. And my question this morning, are you a dedicated seeker to see, to serving God, to seeing what he's really said to us and how we should live. He has provided a way of salvation that was prophesied from long ago. And he asks you to think about your life and to come to him. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He will do that. And the rest can be discovered and can be found this morning. Or as a child of God, if you struggle with some things and you need us to pray with you or pray for you, won't you come while we stand and sing?